Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the former chief of staff to Governor Gibbons. Ray Hager has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. You might be wondering which one is Josh Hicks, today's guest.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Dick Gamet, Chris Wicker, and Alfredo Alonso. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Resort at Red Hawk and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
I'm attorney Marilyn York. We only seek men as clients. If you are a man burdened by divorce, please visit our website at www.marilynyork.net to learn more about your rights. We are Reno's largest exclusive divorce and family law firm.
Here at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, water resources come from fresh, clean groundwater, approved by state permits. The water is pumped from wells to million-gallon storage tanks and then distributed to TRI companies. Another amenity is our investment in a state-of-the-art wastewater treatment plant. This disposal system converts waste to clean water for industrial applications. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
Discover a place where entrees are served free of distractions. Wine Spectator has.
Enjoy great contemporary cuisine at David's Grill at Red Hawk.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and we protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program the former chief of staff to Governor Gibbons, Josh Hicks. This is a very esteemed group you're in now. It means you're qualified to be a co-host on Nevada Newsmakers, a regular pundit. But for this, we wanted to kind of do an exit interview with you. So welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Sam. Always nice to be here.
Well, Josh, kind of sticking with the exit interview thing. You know, when you usually leave a job, people ask you, what do you think we did right, and where did we screw up? What do you think the governor did right in your tenure with him?
I think there were a lot of things that were done right. Not all of them got a lot of media play. One thing was there was a tax amnesty program that didn't get a lot of play, but it actually brought in over $40 million into the state in a very short period of time. I thought that was a huge victory. It was some creative thinking on the governor's part, and it brought in a big chunk of money in 120 days, cleared a lot of receivables off the book, and I thought that was a very good thing. The budget itself, for all the problems it had and the changes it had, just putting a budget together in those kind of challenging times, I thought was a victory as well, and having some options out there was something. We put a lot of work into it, and just being able to put that out there and get it together, I thought was a victory too.
What were your disappointments?
I think we were all disappointed that we couldn't put together a better budget. I think everyone had a hard time dealing with the cuts to higher education, the cuts to cultural affairs. Those were tough things. Recommending pay cuts for state employees, those weren't easy things to recommend, but the fiscal situation was so severe and so dire that just that we were able to put something together was a good thing. But I think we all wish we could have done something differently, but we had to put together a budget.
Things outside of your control, yeah. Right.
What was it like as you continued to get bad news? Because after the initial budget was put out, before it even got to the legislature, it was already in the hole. Not by your fault or the governor's office, but by the fact of the economic circumstances. How tough was that to, you know, read the news every day and go, oh my goodness, this is another giant hole we're falling into?
It was very tough, and it started back in the summer of 2008 when we had that first special session, and we were down a couple $100 million at the time, and we were comparing it to 2003 when Governor Gwynn had gone through something similar, and we were saying we're at this certain level and we can do these things to fix it, and then it kept progressively getting worse. Every month it would get worse and worse, and then we get those quarterlies and they'd be worse, and a lot of times it was just like a bad dream where you just you'd think you wouldn't have to go any further, and then you would. And then we'd put together a budget that was very difficult, and then almost right off the bat, things were worse again, and we had to come up with other ways to deal with that.
I mean, you guys, the situation you were dealing with, I mean, revenue was down, what, 45% from right. where it was projected to be?
Right. It was down, yeah, severely.
So let me ask you this. You know, you've now left. You have a bright future ahead of you. But you look back, what would you tell the next chief of staff, the governor, what advice would you give him so he could be successful, or she? Yeah. Give me a second, Sam. I'm going to be PC in that role.
I would tell them that to make sure that they are really spending a lot of time on the budget, because I think the budget is going to continue to be a problem in 2011. Really dig into that, get to know the budget staff, get to know the state agencies, and be prepared to spend a lot of time looking at what other states are doing too, and trying to find some solutions, because it's not going to get any easier from here on out. The next session is going to be just as difficult, if not more difficult, than the last one.
Budget Director Andrew Klinger was on here a week or so ago, and he was talking about how the Economic Forum going into the next session is not going to be able to count on any of the tax increases or the bailout money, because those won't exist, because Senator Raggio sunsetted all those tax increases. So going into this thing, there's a huge hole before you even start.
Oh yeah, that was that's why I say 2011. I agree with Andrew completely. It's going to be so hard, because you've got $1.4 billion in stimulus money that's gone. You got those sunsetting tax increases, and unless the economy turns around in a big way in the next year, there's going to be a huge hole to fill.
Josh, there was a lot of criticism of the governor that he wasn't at the legislature. He wasn't engaged in the process. You were on the inside. Can you tell us what really went on?
Sure. Well, I think every governor has a different style of dealing with the legislature. Some might be more hands-on, and some might be a little more hands-off. And legislators might be used to a certain style, so a different style comes in and it's a little different for them. But I can tell you the staff of the governor's office was over there all the time dealing with legislators on a daily basis. So even though the governor may not have always been there, the messages were being carried back and forth as frequently as they could be.
And basically he was setting the policy and the strategy, and you guys were carrying it out.
Right, that's exactly right. He, and it started with the budget, with his parameters of put together a budget without with minimal tax increases in it. The only tax increase in there was the voter approved room tax. So he would give those kind of guidelines, and then it was up to the staff to carry those out.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Josh Hicks when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
I want a school where I feel like I belong.
I want to get good grades.
We want a school where we can get things done.
I can do anything Charter High School provides, on-site and online classes that meet graduation requirements.
In addition to math, science, English, and social studies, I can learn dance, visual arts, and digital arts.
Let's graduate together.
At I Can Do Anything Charter High School, we teach the power of knowledge and the power of hope. Call 857-1544 or visit us online.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
You've got to visit Nothing Bundt Cakes. They literally sell Nothing Bundt Cakes. 10 flavors every month, including chocolate, chocolate chip, and lemon. And they come in 8-inch and 10-inch sizes, as well as the Bundtlets, which are a great gift at under $5. And they're huge. The cakes can be personalized for birthdays or holidays, and they make a unique centerpiece and a great treat for a staff lunch or office meeting. And check out their non-traditional wedding cakes. Nothing Bundt Cakes in the Smithridge Shopping Center next to Trader Joe's.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Josh Hicks. He is the former chief of staff to Governor Givens.
Josh, since you did say the budget was the most important thing, and that's where you would recommend your successor to really focus, and one of the things you need with budget is taxes. Do you think the governor's position on no new taxes, do you think that's the right one, or do you think that just made him seem inflexible to the people in the legislature?
Well, I think he stayed true to his principle. That's what he got elected on, no new taxes. Part of the fallout of staying on that position is that you almost take yourself out of the legislative game. Early on, it was obvious that the legislators were going to be considering tax increases. And by staying on that no new taxes or no additional taxes mantra, it really made it difficult for the governor to be involved in a lot of the discussions. There was no reason to invite him or the staff to the table when they knew exactly what our position was going to be.
Do you think if he would have been more flexible in that you know, maybe it would have been a better session for him? Or do you think that he would have been cut out of the process just the same because they'd say, okay, this guy's violated his principles, we can't trust him on anything?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, he definitely would have been criticized for violating his principles. There's no doubt about that, and that could have been a problem too. But the governor did still get a lot of the policy that he wanted. He got almost everything in his original energy bill was ultimately enacted into law. So, you know, he did get some victories during the session, and it's just hard to say where he would have gone if he'd been willing to do taxes.
I mean, he would have been done. I mean, if he'd have said yes, go ahead and increase taxes, the game would have been over, and there would have been no chance for re-election. He would he irritated the base in some cases, even with that room tax. But I mean, he would have had no place to go.
Right. Yeah, it would have been very difficult, I think, to recover from that. He did, for all the criticism he's maintained his base, you know, with the no taxes, and they've appreciated that.
The governor also vetoed a record number of bills. He also had a record number of bills overridden, and that's something that, you know, I used to be able to, you know, count on one hand the number of bills the legislature had, the number of vetoes that had been overridden, and we can't say that anymore. How did the office work the bills that the governor vetoed to make sure they weren't overridden and that they were sustained?
Well, we spent our time over there talking to the caucuses, primarily the Republican caucuses, who were the allies, trying to work on getting those sustained. Some of those we just knew weren't going to be sustained. The budget was a foregone conclusion, and that was, I think there were 8 to 10 bills that were just the budget. The other ones, you know, we would go over there and make our case the best we could. And
domestic partnership, F Street, you know, there were some of those.
Yeah, there were all those bills. We'd make the case the best we could and try to keep those sustained.
Okay, so going into the next session, obviously you talked about the situation with wanting to coordinate with the budget folks and get more involved right off the bat. But we're still going to see major problems. How do you see those problems being resolved realistically? And especially when you've got, you know, the lines being redrawn with redistricting in 2011 as well, which brings into a whole new mess of things, plus all the new legislators who will be first-timers.
Right. It's going to be a very challenging session for all those reasons. And in that 120 days, they're really going to have to get started early. And you hear that a lot, that they need to get started early, but they really will have to this time. You're not going to be able to put off to the end those kind of situations. I think they're going to have to take a hard look right off the bat at the sunsets because that's something I think is going to be around the table, is extend. They're probably going to have to consider extending those for another 2 years, just because the revenue is not going to be there. And the districting itself always leads to a contentious session.
Isn't the initial budget going to look just awful because of the economic forum rules?
The budget is going to be very tough. It's going to be put together by Governor Gibbons at the end of 2010, right. And it's going to be put together based on the economic forum numbers in December. And without that stimulus money, it's probably going to have severe cuts in it, I would imagine.
Reading the press today, there's talk of a second economic stimulus that was talked about. What happened in Japan was where Japan put in a lot of money in the beginning and then stopped putting money into the economy, and then they had the 10 years of no growth. The Obama administration is looking at this and going, maybe we should have a different plan. The Review Journal attacked that totally this morning. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, from an operational perspective, that would make putting a budget together a lot easier for whoever's in the governor's office and in the legislature. One of the problems from the last stimulus package that we had from the operations standpoint was the lack of flexibility and control that the state had over a lot of the money. Very little of the money was actually flexible spending money. So from a perspective of just keeping the state government operational, if there is another stimulus package, it would probably make sense to have the state government control it more and put it where it needs to go.
I know this is an unfair question. I hate to ask these things, like predicting the future, but what do you think Jim Gibbons' legacy is going to be?
I think he's going to, you got to look back at his congressional record too. He had a lot of successes in Congress. He helped set up the Department of Homeland Security. He's served the country in the military. He's really been a dedicated public servant. And his governorship, well, that remains to be seen where it goes in the rest of this term and into a second term. But he's certainly stayed true on the no new taxes, with the exception
and
of the
second
tax.
Term. So the governor is running for re-election. He's going to give it a go as far as you know.
As far as I know, the last discussions I've had with the governor, he was running again.
And from the last discussions I had with him, I would have no doubt, and especially talking to Dan Burns. Josh Hicks, congratulations on a great term. You had so much respect from everybody on both sides of the aisle for the work you've done, and we welcome you back to Nevada Newsmakers anytime.
Thanks, Sam.
Okay, We'll be right back.
It will be a short outing for this young right-hander as the manager heads to the mound. Uh-oh. I have never seen anything like this.
There's an easier way inside local sports. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
You just received another determination letter from the insurance company. So what do you do? I'm Herb Santos, Jr. If you have questions regarding your rights, call me for a free personal consultation. At my office, I help injured people. I work for you.
Academically gifted? Needs flexibility? Non-traditional learner? Every student is unique. If your child isn't thriving in school, discover online learning from K-12, the free, full-time alternative to the traditional classroom. K-12 brings learning to life. Call or log on to see how. State-certified teachers customize online lessons, track progress, even organize field trips. Kids work at the level and pace that's just right for them.
He can be good in the things he's good at, and the things that he's not good at, he can work out on his level.
With K-12, you get teacher support, books, school supplies, materials for experiments, plus interactive online lessons, all free. As a full-time solution or for single courses, think K-12. Take your free virtual tour now. See sample lessons and meet K-12 students and their families. Call or log on now to put K-12 to work for your child.
His wife had passed away.
What was the cause of her death?
Undetermined.
Questions surface after a young mother dies.
I assumed that there was no life insurance.
Yes, there was.
Next Judge Judy. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Dick Gamick is here, the Washoe County District Attorney, Chris Wicker, spokesperson now for the Washoe County Democratic Party, former chairman, and Alfredo Alonso, welcome back with Lewis and Rocha. You survived the legislative session. You have color, everything. let's start out with the Las Vegas Sun this morning reporting that John Ensign plans to stay in the Senate and seek re-election. Fallout from affair, including ethics complaints, leaves him undeterred. Alfredo, your thoughts?
I guess the bottom line is, with any politician, any public official that is here in the state, I personally just feel that, you know, I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'd like to. I'm hoping that most of the allegations are incorrect. If they are, he should resign. If they're not, then he should stick, you know, forward. You know, Democrat, Republican, I don't care. At the end of the day, he should have used better judgment, and I'm hoping he does so in the future.
How can you hope the allegations are incorrect when he's already admitted to the affair and given admitted to $96,000 from his parents?
The affair has, as far as I'm concerned, the affair is none of my business.
Right, we all agree on that.
You know, the other issues that I think are of concern to everybody, I'm hoping aren't correct. I'm hoping the ethics issues don't hold any water. And again, I would hope that about any public official in this state, because again, I think we have a bad rap, as you saw in the National Journal yesterday. Bad enough as it is, you know, I think you know, I'd like to put a little positive spin on it if possible. It's bad enough as it is.
Well, one of the things, Dick, is that you know, for Senator Ensign, if he just plans to serve out this term, he can't say that he's not going to run for re-election. Otherwise, you know, it's all over for him.
No, I agree with that. That'd be way too early to make that kind of a decision or announcement. I go along with what's been said here that as far as his personal life, I'm not going to get excited about that one. But my concern is if he misused any funding or did anything improper as his in his role as a senator, and that'll come out through the investigations and what's going on there. As far as his parents, the money, the last I saw of that was within the bounds and it was proper. They did the proper registration, all the other stuff they had to do. So I don't see what the complaint is there, except it may not have been good judgment. But we all are guilty of that.
But Chris, don't you think that all his problems are just going to empower Democrats to run against him, when perhaps if this wouldn't have happened, they wouldn't have stepped up to the plate?
I think so. I think before this happened, Senator Ensign was a very formidable opponent. I think he was well liked in the state and might very well still be. But I don't, as far as his resignation, I think that's his personal decision, as long as he hasn't violated the law. But it will be up to the voters to decide how important that moral failing is to them.
Okay, let's change topics here. Reports yesterday that Mindy Elliott is on a two-week vacation now. There's a new chief of staff in the governor's office, and I've started to get phone calls from people in state government saying that they think that their jobs may be in jeopardy. What's going on here?
I wish I knew. Again, until Mindy gets back, I mean, you got to take it at its word that in fact she is on vacation. I don't know. I mean, I think you've got a situation that happens in every governor's office where people move in and out. Staff are always moving in and out of an office like that. And honestly, I can't speak to it because I don't know the specifics.
Well, I think Alfredo's sugarcoating that. I don't think you have major people move in and out of office within a couple weeks' time, and I would take nothing at face value that happens in the governor's office.
This is musical chairs, and if the governor loses Mindy Elliott, he is going to lose a very credible person from the media standpoint and from the business standpoint. And also, Keith Rowe said on this show between takes is that she's the go-to person in the governor's office that education deals with, and he hasn't spoken to Jim Givens in over 9 months, so they will lose a lot.
Competent. I'm actually very surprised that she's still there. She does have a great deal of credibility. She's a very competent person, and so I'm surprised she's still there.
I think she's disappointed that she wasn't named chief of staff. Well, I spoke to her at the Legends opening, and she was hoping to get that job.
Well, I think, you know, in fairness, and I've said this many times on the program, the caliber of people in the governor's office and that the legislature has dealt with and have been dealing with the issues of state are some very well-respected people. We just had Josh Hicks on the program, Mindy Elliott. These are not stupid people. These are wise people, and the governor has chosen, I think, well.
Well, I say he's had a very competent staff, some very competent people working for him. They just came through an extremely tough legislative session, so she wants some time off. Take it. we'll see where she comes back or what happens on down the road. There's no sense sitting here just guessing about it.
Of course, if you have a train wreck at the top, it doesn't matter how many competent people are below that.
And all the competent people, they seem to be gone now, from Mendiele at least.
I want to change the subject, and this is kind of interesting because you're here, Dick, and I certainly know your position on this. But it was an email I got this morning that was talking about the efforts to legalize marijuana to rescue California, but also asking the question, what would be the reaction if the drinking age was lowered to 18 in Nevada and the tax on alcohol was increased slightly? What do you think that could mean for our tourism base and for our state?
I think it's silly. Again, you know, the issue with alcohol has always been it's extremely regressive. It usually actually yields less money after it's raised than expected. And in fact, in 2003, we almost had a year and a half of less revenue. Again, it's one of those taxes that it's very easy to raise. And again, very disappointing in the end.
But what about the lowering of the age?
You know, I my parents are from Europe, so frankly, if you told me we're going to get rid of the age limit altogether, my philosophy is probably you'd have less alcoholism. But I think I'm probably the minority here.
And I would join you in that minority. About 10 seconds, Chris.
Okay, I think that doing things like changing the age of alcohol consumption or legalizing or not marijuana, those are policy decisions. They shouldn't be tax decisions. They shouldn't be economic decisions. And that's just the wrong way to approach it.
Mr. Gammack, you have the last 15 seconds.
No.
And that's where we got to leave it. Thank you all. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Come experience the flavors of Los Trojes, fine Mexican cuisine. Los Trojes now has a brand new location with all the same authentic food that everyone loves. Check out the mariachi band, cheap drafts, and Casadores tequila. You won't find better food or a better atmosphere. This summer, enjoy a top-shelf margarita on our outdoor patio. Come see our new restaurant on the corner of Sparks Boulevard and Los Altos today. Los Trojes, now with two great locations to serve you.
Do something nice for yourself and enjoy the good life. I'm Dave Preston, guru of the good life, inviting you to Dinner with Dave. This week's Dinner with Dave is a sure bet. We're at Dini's Casino in downtown Yerrick. It's going to be a great party, and everyone who comes is bound to be a winner.
Watch the News 4 Morning Show and News 4 at Noon on Friday, July 17th for a sneak peek at the menu. Then make your reservations and enjoy a special meal at a special price.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Plus, you can catch the show from iTunes free of charge for your iPod.
Thanks, Sam. Tomorrow's guest will be Dino DiCiano. He's the boss of Nevada's Department of Taxation.
We'll see you on the next Nevada Newsmakers. Thanks for watching and listening.